I talked to Kevin about the PowerPoint, but he took his computer with him, so this is my PowerPoint. This is the outline or the message today. I have learned some things from Kevin as far as preparing a message and things. But I want to try to emulate him in the opening story. I have a space in my notes, and I do have the notes written out here, so that means I'm a little bit better organized than I may have been in the past. But my introduction is still blank. I will not give a long introduction, and I see we're starting after 11, and I talked to Kevin. He called me about the moment in mission. I said, well, if they're willing to be here till 12 o'clock, if they have a long moment in mission, then they'll be all right. He emailed me back and said, well, they should be willing to do that. But I don't think you have to worry about it. In fact, I have four pages here, and I estimated the words, 280 words on each page, so I only have a little over 1,000 words. I just wonder which words will make an impact in our lives. There are more words than that on the paper I handed out. And I'm going to explain that. One of the reasons I handed this paper out is I just used a lot of passages of scripture, and I felt it would be helpful to have them in your hands. And if the print is too small, it's because I wanted to try to get it from one page. As you see, the title of this message is Fulfilling God's Purpose. Do you want to be an impact player for Christ? And your bulletin is just impact player. But the word for Christ is very important. And they're on this PowerPoint. Okay, I think it's right there. I want to give credit to Larry Adams from Golden Hills Community Church in Antioch, California. When him and I went to the West Coast in August, we visited the church. And I heard a message that I thought was so clear and powerful that I thought I would like to share that message sometime. And so I actually asked Larry Adams when I was there if I could use that, and he said, yes, I could use this outline or whatever, so I'm getting credit for that. As we go through these scriptures, if you want to take notes, you can get some of these sub-points are in this outline that I have up here. We've already heard the passage from Philippians, and that is sort of the leading passage that we're going to use this morning. All lives were made for God's purpose, but not everybody has found that purpose. I want us to think of this individually and also together as a church. Even though this statement is not new news, we need to look at it more carefully and find out how to implement it. I'll read again the second verse. To make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one heart and purpose. Note that two actions need to be taken. Agreeing wholeheartedly and working together with one heart. And both of these phrases have the heart involved. Not just the willpower, but our heart. So our lives, our hearts need to be focused on fulfilling God's purpose. To find out how we may do this, let's look at what happens if we don't. If we don't, our lives will be ruin and waste. Most people would not think of Donald Trump as his life being one of ruin and waste. And I'm quite sure that Donald Trump wouldn't characterize his own life that way. After all, look at all he has done, all the money he has made, the impact he has made on many people's lives. He has 10 tips for success. One of them being, believe in yourself. And that's pretty good psychology, I guess, but I think our Bible states in a little bit different way. But does he seek God's plan for his life? Has he found God's purpose? You may say we should not judge, and truly we cannot, but we can observe and wonder. Let's look at another person, Daniel Jennings. Daniel Jennings grew up in this community, and 17 years ago he committed a crime. For this crime, he has been in prison since that time and has many more years to go. Daniel is still in prison paying for that crime. Does the world consider Daniel a success? Check out on Google. I checked out on Google for Donald Trump. He had about 4 million spots. I did find Daniel Janney and his mother Lillian, whom I also know, had 2 spots. Daniel was a friend. I just heard from him in a letter recently. He is happy in the Lord. He's sharing his gifts. And he gave me a great deal of encouragement for what I had, the impact I had had on his life while he was in Augusta prison. He is now in Pocahontas prison, fulfilling God's purpose, singing, teaching, and sharing his faith in prison. Philippians 1:14, and because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians, Greek brothers and sisters in the Lord, have gained confidence and become more bold in telling others about Christ. Daniel Jennings is a reproducing Christian. Jeremiah 29:11. I often just use the first verse, but there are 3 other verses there related to this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Our purpose is to glorify God by making disciples who will impact every area of the world for Christ. To glorify God, Ephesians 1:11-14. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he has chosen us from the beginning, and all things happened just as he decided long ago. God's purpose was that we who are the first to trust in Christ, a choice, also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you have believed in Christ, he identifies you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. And the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give everything that he has promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. This is just one more reason to praise our glorious God. To glorify God, we have to have an opinion of God. Almost everybody has an opinion of God. We can have a high opinion or a low one. I believe in order to have a high opinion of God, we must know him. Again, let's look at people who do not know God. Can they glorify him when they use his name in vain? Or have you heard the oft-used phrase, "Oh my God," used not as a prayer, but in a way that glorifies him, but as an expression of amazement or even disdain? If we have a high opinion of someone, we often speak about him or her. Even when others around us are talking of the weather, the economy, or other people, we will bring up the one whom we seek to glorify. That is our purpose, to glorify God. I noticed in this passage I read from Ephesians, it talked about the Holy Spirit. After I finished this lesson, and I penciled this in my notes here, I heard a news report where the First Lady of our land talked about the Spirit. She said, "There's nothing stronger than the human spirit." She was using this phrase in trying to get the Olympics to come to America, to Chicago. There is something stronger than the human spirit. Because in Acts 1:8 it says, "And when the Holy Spirit was come upon you, you will receive power, and you will tell the people." 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, must be all be done to the glory of God." Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas about what God was like. The result was that their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people, or birds, and animals, and snakes. If we have a high opinion of God, if we know him as he really is, then we will live to make him known. Matthew 18, this very familiar passage, gives us that commission from Jesus before he left this earth. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some still doubted. Jesus came and told the disciples, I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we are first of all students and learners and followers, not of Donald Trump's 10 tips for success, but of God's Word. The heart of discipleship is being a reproducing follower, living to see the life reproduced in others. That is why we are here. Yes, that's why we are commissioned to make disciples. Part of the definition for commission is to carry out a specific task or duty. It's not an option, it's a command. Now we come to the subtitle of this message. Do you want to be an impact player for Christ? As some of you may know, I have a slight interest in sports. The term impact player comes from the world of sports. I'll use an example from football. Sports commentators often analyze an upcoming football game by trying to identify an impact player. I used to follow Chicago Bears when we lived in Elkhart, Indiana. They were known as the Monsters of the Midway. A player during the 70s, I believe it was, a player that had this label of an impact player had the name of Dick Butkus. Even saying his name had an impact. Dick Butkus. Have you heard of him? Even as I had prepared this, I watched the game yesterday afternoon between Illinois and Penn State and had a trivia question. They said, what two players from Illinois were both All-American and All-Pro? One of them was Red Grange, and the other one was Dick Butkus. He had an impact. He had an impact on the offensive players. He could sack the quarterback. He could stop the running back. He lay low any receiver that was in his territory. He was an impact player. You might say he had a negative impact on the opposing team. Another player for Chicago Bears was Walter Payton. Walter Payton had an impact in a different way. He was an offensive player. He was a running back. He had an impact by scoring touchdowns and carrying the ball. Walter Payton also had an impact as a Christian. He had an impact on his teammates and on other people because he let his light shine in various ways. I saw just this past week on my computer something about impact that the gospel has on the people of Mongolia. There was a little item there inviting people to come back to Mongolia that caught my attention and had a testimony, a short testimony of one teacher there in Mongolia. Dawa Zumat says, we see the conduct of your lives. We must consider the truth to our work heads and hearts. We can have an impact player in different, be an impact player in different ways. We've already had the passage from Matthew 3:5-13-16 read, so I'll not read this again. That's one of the reasons I wanted to have the children's time to help make a more of an impact. Salt and light are things that make an impact wherever they are. Well, they don't really make an impact if the light is in the box with the lid on it. I wonder if I turned that light off. But anyways, the light has to come out of the box. I even thought of an illustration of having some french fries without salt, but I thought that wouldn't be a good idea for children either. But how many like to eat french fries without salt? Well, I don't, and salt has an impact when it comes in contact with that. Salt and light make an impact when they make contact where they're supposed to be. This is what's called contact evangelism. Christians may be salt and light, but if they do not affect the world around them, they have little value to God. If you notice in your printed text, I inserted a little note in itself there in Matthew 5:13. It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot is worthless. It will make no impact on its surroundings if salt has lost its flavor. Christians should not blend in with the world around them. As seasoning, they should bring out the best flavor of, as in food. As a light, they should dispel the darkness that covers most of our world. But they have to get out of the box. I call on you today, brothers and sisters, men and women, boys and girls, impact the world for Christ. Our lives, what we say and do, should have some effect on the people that we meet. No, not just some effect, but a specific God-empowered effect for Jesus Christ. Yes, Donald Trump, Tiger Woods, Dick Butkus had an effect on people that surrounded them. But our purpose is to glorify God by making disciples who will impact every area of the world for Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 17. But thanks be to God who made us his captives and leads us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now wherever we go, he uses us to tell others about the Lord and to spread the good news like sweet perfume. Our lives are a fragrance presented by Christ to God, but this fragrance is perceived differently by those that are being saved than those that are perishing. For those who are perishing, we are a fearful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Every area of the world. I cannot really add much to the scripture from 2 Corinthians, except to highlight the phrase, to those who are perishing. If we truly believe that those outside of Christ are perishing, are drowning in a sea of despair, why are we not throwing out the lifeline? Why are we not doing what we have been commissioned to do? Why are we not making an impact on their lives? Not just any impact, but an impact for Christ. I will omit the next passage from Romans 8, and as I was finishing this up, I was led to include Romans 10, 13 to 15. Anyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard of him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells him? And how will anyone go and tell them unless someone sends them? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring God's good news. This is our highest motivation or purpose, to glorify God by making disciples who will impact every area of the world for Christ. If we do this, we will be reproducing followers, followers of Christ who will impact the world for Jesus. What will we do with this message? What will we do with Jesus?